just shared right at the end is, once again, when we prayed a couple of weeks ago, this thing came up, and it's about claiming the land. Now, we're not Robert Mugabe, so we're not claiming some other people's land or something like that. We're talking about spiritual land. I wouldn't mind a farm somewhere, but that's all right. I don't think I qualify for that. Amen. Let me read the first scripture. Claiming the land. Joshua 1 verse 2 to 6. And we've been speaking about this whole Joshua thing for so long. And I want to continue on that. But I don't want to repeat everything that I've said. Joshua 1 verse 2 to 6. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot treads. I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites. Euphrates is where Baghdad is at the moment. So God's people, Israel, should actually stretch up to there. And as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun will be your territory. Verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. All right. Now that verse 6, just want to read it from the Amplified. It says, be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So this morning, wherever we find ourselves, if you're in Triple S, we had youth here on Friday, and it was 30 or 40 kids from Triple S. Where you are is not a mistake. You're not there by some kind of a mistake. You're not positioned. You're not the color and the, you don't speak the language and all of that stuff by mistake. We are different because there's a purpose for it. Amen. So God wants us to, this scripture speaks of saying that we must take the possession of wherever our foot treads. Okay, and sometimes we can maybe be a bit overwhelmed as Christians and intimidated and we're not so confident. But I want to say this morning that where you find yourself, if it's that school that's so way out, and we spoke about the drug use now, the youth, Barry and Nicole, they're not here, they asked me to share on drugs. So what do I know about drugs? Anyway, so I Googled it, so I found out some stuff about drugs, and we spoke about that. But it's quite interesting, and I don't think the kids in school, they go into all these bad drugs, if you can call it like that, but at least alcohol abuse is rife within schools. So now we can think that, oh my word, Lord, shouldn't I just change the school? Let's go to some other more sophisticated school or something. Let me just change the job because it's chaotic here. No. God's speaking to you and He's saying, that land where you are on, that is the one I want you to possess. That is the one I want you to inherit. Okay, so when we speak about land here this morning, I'm not speaking about a farm somewhere or another house. I'm speaking about spiritual land. Amen. And in our church, I believe we're gaining momentum now. And if you could see it, there were quite a lot of leaders here. And sometimes we might get to the point where we say, Lord, we've outgrown you. We've got too many leaders. Where are the people for all the leaders? All I can tell you is we'll never outgrow God. We're not, we might just catch up a little bit and then He will just add more numbers. Okay. So where we are to have this amount of leaders, people that can lead small groups, is an absolute blessing. Amen. All right, let's go on. So are you excited about this claiming the land? For goodness sake, you should be, please. You're not. But it might be overwhelming because this is where I'm getting to. Because when God spoke to His people and He said, this is the promised land. I remember when I spoke about it a few weeks or a month ago, is when they were crossing that Jordan, and it wasn't like there were 10 guys on the other side waiting for them and they're a million. We're just going to overtake them. This is what they saw. So this is, I guess, what we see in the spirit sometimes. It's a bit overwhelming. Numbers 13, verse 27. Now this is before they crossed the Jordan. So they were sending out spies, and Joshua and Caleb were one of these. and other people, and they were coming back and giving a report on what they saw at the Promised Land. Because I'm promising you that. What are you seeing there? How does it look? Are you excited about it? So this is the report. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey." So they could see the blessing. Wow, that's amazing. And this is its fruit. "Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Now, what are these descendants of Anak? Verse 33, "There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." So they look at the Promised Land. God says, "This is it. We have spoken about this." And they're not excited. They are scared. It's like when you, I shouldn't bring this on, but if you play rugby, you know, they've got the Curry Cup. You've got these poor, no, I'm not talking about the game yesterday. I'm going to stay clear of that one. But you've got the poor guys at the bottom, the Leopards and the Bulan Cavaliers or something. Man, they won one game, I think, this year, probably against each other or something like that. What was my point? Anyway, so when we look at the Promised Land, you might feel like this. Oh, I'm only from Boland and I need to go and play the Blue Bulls tomorrow. You know, it's like big giants. You're looking at them and you're not excited about what you have to do because they are big. Amen? So, in the spiritual realm, let's just get off this rugby tangent because I'll always tend, let's go to surfing now, that's right. But sometimes when we look at our Promised Land and what God is promising us, what is God promising us? Is it money? Is it prosperity? I guess that's part of it. But for me, being an evangelist, God is promising us people. Amen? More people to follow Jesus Christ. But when we look at this and we look at our at Swakop and we look at our nation and we look at all this, all we can see is, Lord, strongholds. Stuff in the way. How? Been praying for my father for 50 years. Whatever. Praying for this. Can you, Lord, you don't see the giants. I was there. I went out and scouted it. I'm coming back and I'm saying, I don't know if I want part of this. Okay, so sometimes the Promised Land is like, really, Lord, is this what you're promising us? Can't you make it a bit easier? And when the Israelites were then, were looking up from the Jordan, they had to go into those mountains, Jericho, and overcome all of that. They didn't want to do that. So, what I want to ask you is, and we're going to get to that a little bit later, but this was a specific group of people's report on the Promised Land. They were reporting all the negative things. So if I can ask you this morning, and then I'm going to keep quiet a little bit, what is our report? Just your personal, what's your report when you pray? What do you say? Lord, it's too big. It's too much. We don't know. Or is our report, yes, I think we can do this, Lord. Amen. Amen. So sometimes we must just think about this, Lord. What is our report in our heart? What do we pray? How do we pray? Is it negative or positive? Amen. And we must be honest with that. I mean, we shared just here this morning. It's not strange for human beings to have fears. The worst thing that we can do is keep those fears, not throw them, put them at the cross, at God's feet, and say, Lord, yes, I'm afraid. Can you please help me here? Amen. Is everybody here still with me? Okay. Taking or claiming the land. I just want to get to one, or the first point that I want to make here is, and I've seen it throughout. I've become convinced this week again. I was just very convinced that the way to do things is it must be planned, it must be structured. I'll get to what I'm trying to say here. We must be focused. Joshua 1 verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. See, this scripture says, do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. And then the next scripture I want to read is James 1 verse 8. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute. How do you pronounce it? Irresolute. He's unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, decides. Now, as a church, as the body of Christ, we have to get to this place, and everybody needs to get to that place, I believe. And now it's just becoming more and more, it's a stronger and stronger conviction in my heart, and I'm going to say it wherever I go. I'm going to say it wherever I get the opportunity to do so, because I think it's my responsibility. I think it's our responsibility. But there must be a unity. A unity in what we do. And this scripture says is, please do as Moses commanded you. Okay. I'm talking about, we get so many people, and we don't have them in our church, so, but I'm just telling you, I know they're there. They go off on tangents. They don't submit somewhere. They are not under a covering of some church or something somewhere. But they constantly want to tell the rest of the body of Christ what we should be doing, how we should be doing it. It does not work like that. I'm not trying to be arrogant in saying that, follow me or whatever. I'm just saying God's plan of action cannot operate like that. If you can think of a battle and we are marching up, we're getting ready to go and fight something somewhere, the last thing you want is for some little split off to say, we don't agree with the general's plan on how we're going to attack the enemy. Because then guess what's going to happen? The more that stuff happens, the less effective you'll be in that battle. You'll probably lose it. And I just think it's time that in the body of Christ, and let me also say this, I need to say this, is that are we the only ones, Shofar Church, that can hear from God? No. Are we the only church? No, we're not. All I'm saying is that the people in our church here, we must be focused. And the other people in other churches in Swakopmund, bless their heart, I want the same for them, unity in that congregation. We don't want this where somebody, like in a battle, says, I'm not going to follow this plan. Sometimes, and can leaders make mistakes? Yes. Does that mean we always have to, the Bible says that the wife must submit to the husband. Sometimes the husband does lots of stupid things. Take it from me. But the wife must still be submissive and God will bless it. I'm not saying if the pastor goes off on a tangent and he's sinning and there's sin in his life and everything that he's claiming and proclaiming is against the word of God, you follow him, you ultimately submit unto God. But if there is something happening and you can see that God's power is flowing, then submit. Amen. And this scripture says, and I tell you, the devil tries this angle constantly, because the moment he sees people are starting to come together in unity, agreeing on something, this is his first angle, trying to get somebody to go off, trying to cause division. Amen. Quarreling, lone rangers. You know why a laser, Pastor Fred mentioned this, why is a laser so potent? It's just light. Laser is light. It's like this light. That thing can't kill you, but a laser is focused light. And a laser can cut through anything, not these little lasers that we use to point on the PowerPoints. But a laser, because it's concentrated, focused on one little area, it can do this. Aaron John, you're going to blind me. It's focused. Amen. So the church must be like that. And we can't have two minds. Why am I saying this? Because we are in a battle. And the closer we move to God, with God, the battle becomes, there's giants. There's giants in the promised land. What does that mean for us? There are demonic strongholds, stuff that wants to take us out. The next step we want to take, he wants to take us out. The best way he can take you out is if you're on your little island somewhere in disagreement with somebody. Amen. Sure, this was hard. But I don't want to condemn you. I just want to bless you. Oh, this is actually what I wanted to share. Joshua 1 verse 11 to 18. Let me just read this. I believe there must be order in the church. Order. And once again, I just want this for every church in Swakopmund. I don't want all of them to come and submit under us or anything like that. I just want them to have this so that they can be blessed. Joshua 1 verse 11 to 18. Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross the Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them. Let me just skip to verse 16. They answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. I mean, that just summarizes for me what I just said, is that God wants this spirit. And I can tell you, it's wonderful. It's really amazing to be in our church, and we've got our elders. It's awesome. And intercession, when you see the unity thing happening, when you see there's agreement, when you see somebody brings up, we pray, and then he says, Lord, we must pray for this, and everybody just joins in, prays for that. There's so much power in that. Amen. And God wants us to operate in that power. Amen. Let's go on. Just one more example. Genesis 11 verse 6, the Lord said, behold, there are one people. This is now the account of Babel. And the Tower of Babel was not a godly thing happening. God had to split the thing up. But why? The Lord said, behold, there are one people, and they'll all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. This was not a godly thing happening, but it's a principle. There is power in agreement. This was happening here. These people were all in agreement. This is what we're doing. We're going there. And God, because it was ungodly, God had to get rid of it, stop it. But can you imagine the church of God doing this? If we can just, all in agreement, there can be nothing that can stop us, obviously, with God's help. Amen. And it's not a superficial agreement. I need to say this. I wrote it down, so I need to say it. It's, how can you test? How can we test if we're in agreement? Just remember, I am also under somebody. I'm under Pastor Hercules, I guess, and then Pastor Fred. So sometimes lots of the things that we do come from their direction. So I'm not like a lone ranger. I can't do whatever I want to do. If I'm out of line, they'll tell me what to do and get out or replace me. But sometimes the stuff that they might say is like, Lord, is that really what you're saying? Do you really want us to go that way and do this? And then the way in which we can determine, am I in agreement with them, is the way that I pray. Lord, please convict Pastor Fred that he's wrong. Please change his mind. And let them see what you're really saying. Or am I praying, Lord, this is difficult, but I believe it's from you. I'm not so sure where we're going. I'm not so sure why we're going there. But I'm not saying if we're not confident and if we're a bit scared, we're not in agreement. It's just the heart thing happening here. The heart thing is, yes, amen, we're going to do this. Father, this is not easy, but I'm going to submit and we're going to do this. And now I'm not saying this happens in our church, but Christians can always have quite a easy excuse to discuss people. And they say, no, it's not gossip. We're discussing somebody, which is part of ministry. You know? We need to talk about this brother now. This brother has done this again. And that's not agreement. That gossiping, that negativeness in where we're going, that's not agreement. Do you see what I'm saying here? Amen. All right. We're talking about claiming land. So it involves lots of battling and fighting. Then we're talking about order. The order must be in the church. But I must give you rest now and say that the ultimate authority is God. And it's so amazing, this piece of scripture, I've mentioned it, but I really want to do it again, is Joshua 5 verse 13 to 15, just before they conquer Jericho. So like Joshua's all psyched up. Be strong and courageous. Everybody is following me. And so God just had to put him at his place so that he understood where he fits in with this plan. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? He said, no, rather I indeed come now as the captain of the hosts of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for for the place we are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. God comes to Joshua and saying, Joshua, yes, you are the man, you are the general, but you are just one of the little generals. I'm the man. I'm the one in charge. I'm God, I'm in charge. And you will lose this battle if you don't go in it with me. So let me just put you at ease here. God is our general. And whatever battle we go into, wherever we go to, if we become a little bit arrogant, we've seen one breakthrough, somebody get healed, or somebody get saved, and now we become hyped up and we're not so humble as we should be, things can go wrong quite quickly, and God does not share His glory. So once this church becomes Thew, I don't want it to become a Thew thing. You can try it, and lots of pastors and preachers do it. They try and steal God's glory. If we do that, God will remove Himself, because He does not share His glory. Amen. So whatever we do is for God. It's for God's glory. When people get saved, it's for God's glory. When people come to our small groups, it's God. When we go into a battle, we don't go in there unless God said so. We can become, and many times, I was like that. Let me just rather use myself as an example. You become spiritual, and you pray in tongues and all that stuff, and now you think you can just attack any demon everywhere. Please don't do that. Just hear from God where we need to go. Because those things can take you out if you're out of line. Amen. God is in control. Amen. That's all that I wanted to say then. Now, if I didn't study civil engineering, I would have liked to study something with geography. Because I always try to memorize the capitals of countries. So I love maps. If you want to bless me with something, just buy me a good big map, something. I remember I bought these second-hand maps. Amazing stuff. So I like these things. I like to see countries and capitals and strategize. So this is what I did. I just want to show you this picture, the next one. Hopefully you can see it. It's a bit vague. But this is... I want us to get this picture of Swakopmund, of wherever we're going. This is where... Well, we go to the next one, but they're even more vague. Go up one again. Just get this picture in your mind. Claiming the land. When we prayed the other day, it was like, and Hilo confirmed it, God showed us, like the fields, and they are fenced off. And it was like God saying, but I want to show you every now and then that you must go and claim that one. And then you must go there. And then you must go there. Don't just fight. Wherever you want to go, listen, hear the strategy. And that's exactly the strategy that Joshua had. When he conquered, they conquered first. Let me just give you some background. Jericho, then they conquered Ai. But they first lost to Ai because there was sin in the camp. But then God gave them specific strategy on how to conquer Ai, what to do, how to go about it. And they did it very unorthodoxically. They didn't approach it like you should approach a battle. They allured them out and they attacked them from the back and stuff like that. Just like that movie. Now I must just get the movie right again. It's not Braveheart, it's the other one. But you can think of Braveheart also. But it's all very nice for William Wallace to scream and say, oh, we're going to conquer. But if you look at those movies, they all had a strategy on how to do it. If I remember correctly, Braveheart also. They went in a specific way. They captured them. It's not like we're just running there. And Joshua had exactly the same thing. God said, yes, go and claim all that land, but it didn't happen all in once. All at once. It happened in stages. Okay, you can go to the next one. So this was his... It's interesting to me. I don't know about you. Anyway, this was the southern... They conquered all the southern lands. That's how they went in the next one. Oh, then they went north, the next one. And here you can see how they attacked. First they attacked to the south, and then they went to the north. Amen. Ephesians 6 verse 12. Now, what does this mean to us? Maps, Theo, you're very funny, and this is all. What are you trying to tell us? I think first we need to identify our enemy. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I would like us, all those small group leaders, as we stood up here this morning, we must start, but not only them, the whole congregation, start thinking this way. Who's the enemy? And this scripture says, it's not flesh and blood. That guy that gives you the creeps at work, that you want to get saved, but he still gives you the creeps. He's not the enemy, okay? Don't use the fivefold ministry. That's a joke. Anyway, it's not that person. Many times we get so sidetracked, and if you're like me, we just want to fix stuff in the natural. I just want to fix taxi drivers. Fix them. You know, when they cut in front of me, I want to fix them physically. I want to help them get it. Renew their minds. I want to help them renew their minds. So I wish I had these real Land Cruiser buggies with the big bumpers, the strong ones. But I don't have any of this small one. I heard of a story, somebody in Windhoek, the taxi stopped in front of him and he had one of these big Land Cruisers. So he just put his car on 4x4 and he pushed them on the sidewalk and then he went on. That's what I want to do. But we don't fight against flesh and blood, even though we want to. We must pray for those taxi drivers. We must start the taxi driver mission field. Take the thoughts captive. But now it's against powers and principalities. And I just want to throw these two in here. I don't know why that when I prepared. But I can tell you, if you're a young man here this morning and you're not married, the one thing the devil will attack you on, just write it down and remember it, is relationships and lust. Okay? I don't know why in Swakopmund, but it's probably all over. But in Swakopmund, that's the one. I can't tell you of how many people, even in my family that I have here, that have gone through divorces because there were idolatry and stuff in there, and the family breaks up. So just take it from me. You young guys must listen to me now. This is one of the things the devil will attack you on. Marriages will be attacked in Swakopmund because that's the strategy of the enemy. So just keep it in mind. And whenever that, sometimes we need to think about it. When we get into an argument, if you get in an argument, what's the purpose of this argument? Who started this? It's not your wife being stupid or you being stupid. There's a plan behind this argument. Spite the devil. I love what Dankor says. Sometimes we find ourselves in these things. We must look, what's the purpose? Why are we fighting? Why is this happening? It's to break the relationship. Stop it somehow. Spite him. You know? But many times if you're like me in the flesh, you want to fix the thing in the flesh. It doesn't work like that. Amen? I hope that came out right. So relationship, I believe, is one. The other one is there's quite a lot of... Now, I haven't seen it myself yet. I got an SMS the other day. But there's quite a lot of occultic work involvement here in Swakopmund. I do remember, people, if it's getting too hot here, you must open some windows. Somebody do that. But if it becomes too much. But I remember when I was at school. Now, that's long ago. But... It was a target area, this area of occultic involvement. So that's one of the strongholds. Amen. So we must be aware of it. But then we can, if we focus on these things too much, on the spiritual things, you get all these spooky people. They just talk about this stronghold and that stronghold and that's the name. And I believe in spiritual mapping, if you've ever heard about it, where we pray about something and we see this is the stronghold in this area. And you need to sort it out. We need to pray it out. We need to intercede it out. Ask God to break that bondage. But why do we want to break all these bondages? Why do we want to break all these things? I just think that we must always keep the end goal in mind. Why are we fighting the devil so much? For what? For what? You know, we must fight him, but what's the purpose? What do we want to reach by this? Look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? Psalm 2 verse 8. Ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. And I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Now, I'll read the next scripture, but that word nations, specifically in the New Testament, speaks of ethnos. It speaks of different people groups. It's the Damaras. It's the Namas, Afrikaners. It's this people. And we shouldn't only draw it on relational and tribal issues and all that stuff. But God sees people groups. God sees people. He sees this group of people, then he sees that group of people. And God loves all those cultural differences. Let me just tell you that. Now, I'm married to an English wife, and I'm Afrikaans. Who of you know there's a cultural difference? The Afrikaners are more the quiet spoken ones, right? No, we're not. We're not like that. So there are cultural differences. But God loves those things. And I love them also. And my wife loves them. Amen. But the ultimate goal is people. And I want us to get to a place, and I know that we've multiplied small groups now, and now there's two people in a small group, or nobody yet. Because what now? But God wants us to see people, and then when we start praying for people, then God will show us the strongholds over those people's lives so that we can break them. So ultimately, it is a spiritual stronghold issue that we need to fight about. But I'm just saying, let's just always keep the end goal and focus in mind, and that is people. Let's identify people. So what I'm trying to say here this morning is, as we leave, as we go to our small groups, I would like everybody in a small group to say, Lord, this is the people you can even pray about it, but this is the people we're going to target. This we feel, pray about it, we feel these are the people we should be reaching out to. And one of the areas I can just tell you where we need to expand in our church, where we need to go to, is towards Mondesa and DRC. We need to go out there. But there's lots of other areas. But if we can get to that place where we say, Lord, help us. And if we can have that people group in our mind, the target group that we want to, and we pray for it, then God will start showing us, well, these people struggle with this. And then you pray for that. Then you sort it out. Amen. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now that word nation there is ethnos, it's a race, a tribe, it's people groups. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say here this morning? Is that I don't believe we're in a situation in our church where some of us feel like, Lord, yeah, fantastic, multiplication of small groups and you name it, but where are the people? We can't outgrow God. God really wants us to, God wants to add flesh to the skeleton. And we must always keep this in mind that as we grow, we must always be ready to say, okay, identify new leaders. Let's multiply again. Can you see? We must spread like that map where Joshua took over. It was first this area, and then he took over other areas. Amen. Now I'm finished, and it's so early. But Carol, can you play for us, maybe? I just want to read the last scripture here. Now that right in the beginning I read that scripture of where the count of the people and they said, whoa, it's giants, we can't do this. But Joshua and Caleb had another report. They saw something different in the spirit. And I just want us to get that in the spirit. I want God to challenge us in that area in the spirit this morning by saying, I want to change your report. The report of the promised land, I want to change it. I want to give you this. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. I believe our primary weapons against the enemy is intercession. just praying, seeking God's face. Because the last thing I want to do is run into a battle where I don't know if I should be here. I want to hear from God. Go there. And the second thing I believe is worship. And maybe it's a challenge for all of us here. Worship is not something that happens here on a Sunday morning where we sing five songs. That's a celebration of worship. Worship happens and should happen at the home. And we always connect singing with worship. It is definitely part of that. But worship is just walking around saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've given me. When you see somebody, Lord, I claim him for you. I pray for that person. Thank you for what... That's worship. It's a lifestyle. It's going to work saying, Jesus, thank you for this opportunity. I'm the boss here. There's 50 people working below me. What is it that you want to do? I praise you for this. It's worship. It's a lifestyle. Sunday mornings is a celebration of it. Amen. Intercession and worship. And then we just keep people in mind. Like Caleb said, yeah, we see all these giants, but we see the people in those lands. Jesus wanted them to be, you know, we always think it was just about battles and killing people in the Old Testament. God wanted to conquer those lands so that they can come under His kingdom, so that they can be under His reign, under His loving and acceptance. They're outside, they can't experience it. Amen. Let's look at that last slide. Well, where's that? That soccer mount. Amen. I want to see a green and a red, a block, and a blue block. Amen. How are we going to conquer this? Let's just stand and pray. Lord, we just lift up Lord, we just ask that you will show us what you've called us for, what you've called this church for, Father. And Lord, we don't want to play around and play with plastic guns. We want to fight with you. We want to fight with the real ammunition. But Father, sometimes we're so focused on our needs, and we just want to repent of that and say, Lord, we're looking at this city this morning, we're looking at this, and it's just a picture, but it's something that we want you to fix in our minds, something that we want you to come and change in our minds, that we always have this picture before us of where we need to go. And Father, we thank you that your word says wherever we put our feet, we can claim that land, we will possess it, we can inherit it. But we know it's about people. It's about people coming to Jesus Christ, knowing Him intimately. It's not about fighting a demon and winning a demon or anything like that. That's part of the thing, but it's ultimately to get people into your kingdom. And Father, we thank you for the blessing you've been to us. We thank you for the increase you've shown us. We want to be thankful for what you've done in our lives and in the church and where we're going, Father. And we thank you that you're even showing us just a little bit more of the promised land here this morning. Father, and come and change our hearts and our way of thinking and the report that we sometimes give in our prayer life. Come and change that report so that it can read, so that it can sound like Caleb. Well, no, we must go. We have to go. It's fantastic. We only see milk and honey. I pray that you will change us, Lord. And we just lift up every small group here this morning. Everyone. And we want to almost position them on that map somewhere and say, we want to take an area. We want to claim an area. Lord, and I pray for the leadership in that group. I pray for that whole group, Lord, that you will do something in the spirit where we say, but we need to go out. Where are we going next? And Father, we also thank you this morning for as the church is a skeleton, you're going to add the flesh. You're going to add the people. We will never be able to outgrow you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can be a part of your plan and your purpose. Please speak to us, Lord. Bless us that there won't be divisions just in our minds, things that confuse us. Remove the confusion and help us to just see your way, Lord. We don't want to fight. We don't want to go left when you've said right. There's no more time for going the wrong way. There's no more time to waste, Lord. Just speak to us. We really want to move in your anointing and in your power so that people can come to Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads. I just want to ask if there's anybody here this morning. I'm going to make two altar calls. The first one is, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to come and meet Him. Like Richard shared in the beginning, coming to Jesus Christ should not be a fearful thing. Because Jesus said, I'm not about fear, I'm about being a daddy, a father. So if it's fear this morning, if you've got fear in your heart this morning, if you feel like, oh, I'm afraid, I want to tell you that's the devil. He wants to keep you away from just experiencing the love of God. God draws us. Like a gentleman, He draws us closer. He says, please come. I want to bless you. So if there's anybody here this morning that has not received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, He's not the commander of your life. He's not the king. We want to pray for you. We want to just a simple prayer. Pray with you, but trust God that there is a spiritual thing going to happen here this morning. Is there anybody here this morning that has not received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? Just put up your hand quickly. Is there anybody that has not received Jesus? Okay. And then lastly, just this whole thing about the report. What's the report in our hearts? Are we positive or negative? He says, I'm just going to close off. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward now. You can just come forward afterwards. But if you just want us to pray so that you be like Caleb, that you don't see the problems, but you see the promise. You don't see your school or the area where you are as a problem. You don't see whatever the challenge is God is putting before you. You don't see it as a problem. You see it as a promise and as an inheritance. If you're struggling with that thing here in your heart this morning, I'm going to close off in prayer now, but I'm going to wait here and other people are going to wait with me. Come forward and we want to pray for you because it's just the thing that must change in the spirit. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning and your presence in the worship. And we just lift up everything that we do to you, Father, and we pray that you'll bring us back safely next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember next